15. And before we go, let's pray this simple prayer again. And I will ask Pastor Dan to lead us. Lord, I have your word and I know it's true.
I am everything it says I am.
I have everything it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Mark 16:15 says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. I have been known to preach, because the King James says to preach to every creature. So when I was young in the Lord, I used to preach to grasshoppers. I used to preach to butterflies and stuff, but that's not what God is telling us. But I literally took that. And really what he's saying is practice. Practice sharing the good news. And what we are experiencing is really a drought of the Word of God. Not only here in America, but throughout the world. And God is beginning to cause a resurgence of His Word to come alive. He is stirring His people in such a way that He wants His Word to be preached. The title of this message is, You Are God's Kuru. K-E-R-U-X. Kuru. And I will explain what that is in a few minutes. As I said last week, we're in a warfare, but we're in a war not against each other. We are in a war against powers and principalities and demonic forces that are influencing mere men to do the things that they're doing in rebellion to the Lord God. And remember I said, you can see it happening in the physical to understand what is happening in the spiritual realm. That is a key. That is a free charge for you to learn how to discern properly what God is doing, what His angels are doing, and what the devil is doing. The reality of this discernment is really understanding that men are blind. They're blind to truth. They're blind to its realities. And because they're blind, Satan juices up their emotions. And what we see today is the emotions of men, because there's several political topics in America that is running very high on emotions. But I say to you, don't look at that. Discern what's going on. You are a spiritual person. You are mighty in God. And thereby, don't get caught up in all that rhetoric and nonsense that mere men get. Part of our job here is to come together as a church and huddle in fear, right? No. Part of our job is to take on this demonic attack head on. And part of that is preaching the good news. We are in a wage for a culture. It is a warfare that is not fair. We've experienced that. Those of us who have been from the beginning have understood that each step we take forward, we're meeting more and more resistance, because Satan does not want the kingdom of God to advance, even though his time is short. This war is kingdom against kingdom, culture against culture, values against values, truth versus lies, and light versus darkness. 24 says it more succinctly.
Jesus has commanded us, the church, to go and preach the good news of the kingdom to everyone. But not everyone is preaching the good news. What does it mean that Jesus asks us, better yet, it's a command that each and every one of us, it's not a suggestion, because if he's our Lord, he's our King, and we do what the King says to do. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You see, God is making us his crew so that we can testify who he is, what his kingdom is about, and what he's like, and his demands. For each and every one of us, we have met his demands, partially, because as a child, we still have to be educated, and as a child of God, it's no different. We have to be educated to understand how our Father's kingdom works. Did he not say it was his great joy to give us the kingdom? Did he? The kingdom dwells in us already. And it was his great joy to give that to us. But there's so much more that we have to realize. And in that, he wants us to be his crew. How many of us have seen, what is it? Lord of the Rings. And one episode or block was The Return of the King. Right? Now I'm going to give you an illustration and then I will define what a crew is. But how many at the end remember that all of them, all the forces of men gathered against this great big gate of evil. And out came this guy to tell them his master's wishes for them to surrender. Do we remember that? That individual was called a crew because he was letting them know, the forces of men, what his master was saying for their course to surrender. And how many of us know that we capitulated? The forces of men capitulated, right? No, they did not. What had happened was the king cut his head off, the crew's head off, because that was unacceptable. And of course, you know, the ring was thrown into Mordor's volcano, and we know the rest of it. It's a very similar thing as to what we are called to do. As preachers, we're not only to preach the good news, we are to live it. We are to take an active role in representing our King. Our lifestyles, everything must change. You're no longer like the world. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And he tells you, because he has sent his Holy Spirit to teach us what he wants done. And I want you to begin to start examining your life. Because a lot of us have taken this as a suggestion, not as a command. If Jesus is your King, and he is, we need to repent and become activated by his Holy Spirit to preach the good news. We are representing the King, his values, his culture, and everything else about the kingdom of God to those who are still outside the kingdom. So it's not just preaching it, it's living this life. Because as you live this life of the kingdom, people look at your life. They look at what's going on in your life. But what does the job of the crew entail? What does... I'm glad you asked that question. I don't want this to be a heavy. I want you to understand some things. A crew is an official representative of the king. That's all of us. Okay, we represent him, the kingdom, and everything that is of his nature. What do we know about the kingdom? Someone tell me one thing that they know about the king or the kingdom. He's sovereign. What does that mean? Absolutely. And what else? What else? He's in complete control. That also means your life. He's in control of your life. You no longer are in control. You died the moment you said, "Yes, Lord." Everything on the other side of the cross is ancient history. He doesn't hold that against you. Everything on this side is a re-education of who he is, what he demands, and what our lives are supposed to be like. Amen? If our lives are not changing, it's not God. It's not his fault. It's not his problem. It's us. And we need to have such an intimate relationship with Jesus to find out what it is that we are doing to hinder him from telling the good news. Our job is to declare the decrees of the king. Do you know what he demands? I'm not going to go through it, but he does command us to love. They are sent ones. Believe it or not, he's sending all of us. Do you believe that? Yes, he's told us. And I'll show you. They are master builders or architects of the king's kingdom. You may say, well, I'm not a master builder. Not yet. You need to learn. You need to learn and find out his heart and how intimate he is and trying to be with each and every one of us. And all of us have those in our lives who are naysayers saying, "I'm good. You don't have to tell me about Jesus." Yeah, we do. Not only tell them, but live it in front of them. It's more important that we live it than declare it. Because if it's real to us, we will be actually having it engage into our lives. And the things of the world don't control us any longer. I was talking with someone yesterday. We had a family gathering yesterday. It's the fifth annual, I think, the fourth annual. I don't know. But our families got together at Stiles's. And I was talking with someone about, I'm not going to mention their name, about the kingdom and what it means to preach this good news and what it means to really understand how easy it is. If God says to do something, do it. Because your obedience to what the king says, he gives you more. And as you become more and more obedient to what he's saying to you, he begins to entrust you with the precious things that he has. Your lives. Your life is now his life. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, "Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful." The Apostle Paul was saying that the grace that he has from God to build his church is really what is causing this forward motion. Grace. We don't have grace to continue in sin. We have grace to do what it is that God has given us to do. It is the driving force that keeps us from becoming complacent. The world would tell us and lie to us and say, everything's fine. Don't sweat it. And we can see that everything's not fine. And as the Lord's approach becomes more and more evident, we need to be on His page, not ours. Because sadly, some of us will face things we never thought we were going to face without the Lord. And I wouldn't want that for us. God has anointed us to flow in this grace. Each and every one of us are anointed. Say, I am anointed. I don't lie to you. You are anointed. You have to believe this. You are anointed to do whatever God is calling into your life. He's giving you the grace to accomplish it, and He's giving you the Holy Spirit to teach you. He's given fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, in how to do it. We want to do it, but we also want to know how to do it. Apostles today worked to build up the local church, of which we are one of those local churches. We believe in the association of the fivefold ministry. We understand what fivefold means, and we understand how it's supposed to work. Not just have our apostle come in or some prophets come in and prophesy and give us holy goosebumps and stuff. They come in with a directive of building the church, encouraging the church that where we are today, we will not be there next week, next year. It's virtually impossible. We have talked about every one of these seats being filled. That will become our reality. You're just prophesying that, Pastor. No, yeah, I'm prophesying. And when I prophesy, God makes it happen. Because I'm only repeating what He says. And with more people coming in, there's more opportunity of ministry. But it all starts with us being His crew. And we need to know what He's, this crew, and really take an active participation with the Holy Spirit in just talking with our friends, our neighbors, in general conversation to let them know the truth. I mean, Terry was sharing about her dad last week. And she was sharing things with him that he admittedly said, I never knew. If he's just one that has never heard, how many are there in our community that have never heard, never seen, never understood? Church is religious to them. Are we religious? No, we're not. We like to have fun. So does God. God's very comical. He made me. Okay. We're good. 2 Timothy 1:11 says, God has chosen me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the good news. I want you to put your name in there and personalize this. God, or this message I have been set apart to proclaim as a preacher, emissary, and teacher. Say it. Do you understand what that means? I could never be a teacher. I could never be an apostle. I've said to you many times, I see apostles. I see preachers. I see prophets. I see teachers. I see evangelists in you.
But you need to release that to make it so. And if you don't release it, guess what? You will be stagnant and frustrated in your spiritual growth because you're disobedient to what God says you are. You're a preacher. Whereas Paul says, I'm an apostle. I'm a sent one. You are sent by God to go and preach the good news, to live this life in such a way that people don't have a list of do's and don'ts. What would you have me do, Lord? That's really our conversation. What would you have me do? You are anointed. Why do you think the Jews got all upset when Jesus read, I have been anointed to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to declare the acceptable day of God? Because they weren't teaching it. They weren't living it. We're just entering into this relationship with Jesus. And part of our success has been because of you, not because of my preaching. I don't think my preaching's all that hot. But I live the kingdom. And I think that's more important than me telling and espousing things. A crew is first a preacher. First is a preacher. To some that means that it's a full-time pastor. To others it means that you're a seminary grad, or as I like to say, a cemetery grad. A counselor. Someone hired by the congregation to meet their needs. And I know of several cases going on right now where they have a committee of who they're going to hire to preach. Kingdom is a lot different than putting together a group of people to interview pastors to come in to meet their needs. We have been talking about dominion. That is what is going on right now. It is a fight for dominion over this planet. You will not be used of God if you don't start taking dominion in your own lives. I don't know any other way but to tell you the truth. Because every area that you take dominion in is an area in which you can help someone else in. That is not a disqualifier. It is a qualifier. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can. You just need to believe. To preach biblically is to take an active role in representing and advancing the kingdom of God. That's what preaching is. Not me standing up here, because what I'm doing is teaching you the truth of the gospel. Some of you may be like, I can't do that. Yes, you can. And God will put you to the test to show you that you can. God doesn't put us in a situation to show us our failure. He shows us in those situations how to be victorious. If we already had the victory, and we do through Jesus Christ, what's the problem? Let me give you an example of what this looks like. A king wants to invade a city. And Jesus used this in a parable. And he told us that if we wanted to go to war, we had to calculate if we had enough to do the war. We have more than enough to do our war.
But a king comes and he sends his kuru to the city to declare to that city what the king's intentions are. Jesus is the chief kuru. He came here to declare that the kingdom of God is near us, which is now in us. And he went about telling people the demands of the king. Not only did he tell them, he demonstrated. Jesus said, greater works will you do than I do, because I go to my Father who art in heaven. Wouldn't you just like to just lay your hands on somebody and instantaneously they're healed? You have that power. You have it. You just need to release it. You need to act it. You need to demonstrate to people that the kingdom is more than us sitting in pews, looking at all our beautiful faces, and doing nothing. Casting out demons. How many times did Jesus cast out demons? How many times did he raise the dead? This is all contained in you. The king dwells in you. It is his power to do this. We just need to get on his page to do it. And every time he gives us opportunity, we get to do this with him. People are looking for supernatural happenings. And you walk into a room, you're happening because you're supernatural. Let it happen. Let it flow. Let him out of the prison that of fear and stuff, because he hasn't given me a spirit of fear. He's given me what? A power of love, a sound mind. And what else? Sent control. That's what he's given to us. And we need to act on it. Not just quote the scriptures, but live them. Live them. Those who were the king's kuru would rule in over the locale, thus expanding the realm of the kingdom. I am the Lord's kuru. I am building streams. I get help from my brothers who are building other churches to build into your lives to expand his kingdom. I need your help. I need you to be activated and use your gifts and talents in such a way that kingdom expansion happens supernaturally. And as we allow this to happen, guess what? God shows up. And he does things. Because he confirms his word. Wouldn't it be awesome to just pray for somebody who doesn't have a leg? Who's an amputee from service of defending this country, and God put a whole leg in there. Do you not realize that when Israel left Egypt, they were all whole? There was none that were sick. There were none that had deficiencies. There was none that had struggles and stuff. They were all made whole. And on top of that, the riches of Egypt was given to the people of God. We know that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And part of our job is to tell people that he's coming back to take what was stolen from him back, including his people. And we have a part in that. Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus told his disciples, he said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. How many of us believe At the end of the age is near. It's near. We don't have a whole lot of time. That's in the Father's hands. He determines what's going on. We need to be about impressing upon the people who do not know God and those who have been hurt by the church because of their immaturity at that time. We need to go after them too to become part of the family of God. Yes, part of our preaching is to tell them the way of salvation. Part of our preaching needs to tell them what we need to do to repent. We need to teach them to confess that they're rebels. Our sin is rebellion against God. The difference between them and us is that we have the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us from all unrighteousness, and we stand in purity as He's pure. That's the truth. That's the truth. You can mess up, you win. Confess your sin to God, you win. He doesn't hold it against us. We need to start taking advantage of this as we promote the kingdom of God to our friends, our neighbors, inviting them to the truth. After we've confessed our sins, what happens? He cleanses us from all unrighteousness and then adopts us as His own kids. Thereby, we're sons and daughters. We're not beggars. We're not slaves. We're not. He wants to give you authority in your life to be just like Jesus. Some of us have made up our minds already that this is how far I'm going to go. I'm not going to go anymore. Fine. We were also given an example of that too. When Israel was delivered from Egypt, did all Israel go into the promised land? No. For 40 years they wandered. And in those 40 years, that generation died off. I don't want us to be that generation. I want us to be the generation that ushers in the kingdom of God in its reality and its power and its great glory. We are sons and daughters. And you need to get that into your spirit. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. I'm a son of the Most High God. And declare that all the time. Because as you declare it, Satan would tell you what your past was. Oh, you're not deserving of this. You did X, Y, and Z. You did that. I mean, it happens to me all the time. And I just snicker at him and say, but the Word says. What the Word says. I'm going to believe my Father because it's impossible for him to lie to what the reality is that I see or what the enemy is trying to put into my mind. John 17:15 through 18 says, I am not asking you to take them out of the world. This is Jesus praying to God the Father, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me, I am sending you. That's our commission. Is he just sending me? He's sending everyone. Because he only sees one church. And any church that preaches its denominationalism is not of God. Because they're declaring their separation. And in this day, God is calling for his church to come together. Not divide. Another lie is This lie of the doctrine of escapism. Well, I'll just hang in here until we get raptured. Do you really think that doing nothing is going to cause you to escape? You have a job. He wants you trained so that you can be equipped to accomplish that job. The lie in there is, I don't have to do anything. I just wait for Jesus to come. You will be sadly disappointed that you will watch us get caught up in the sky and you're still here. Just read Revelation and see what happens to those believers who did not function according to God's purpose for them. They go through the tribulation. That's why they're called tribulation saints. God is not going to take us out of this world because the church has a job to do. And until we accomplish that job, guess what we need to be doing? Our job. Then he'll come and take us out. And we will hear in that glorious day, enter into the joy of the Lord, my good and faithful servant. Servants. Because we're now in Christ. And that's all he's looking for. So you need to jettison a rapture mindset right now. Because you're not going anywhere. It's just the way it is. I want us all to get caught up together. I want us all to be so busy about making disciples and building the church and expanding the kingdom and really turning this world upside right. Not upside down. That's the way it's been for 2,000 years. Upside down. John 20 says, and he said, peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, I am sending you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Having the Holy Spirit, yes, he comes when we declared that Jesus is Lord. And he comes and abides in us. But there is another experience that this is what Jesus is saying. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. Release that. We have to receive His Holy Spirit's power in order to do the things that God requires of us. I just see you guys being ferocious. I see you guys intimidating those who are trying to intimidate us. I see you conquering all those naysayers because you are armed with the most powerful thing that the world will ever know, and that is the Word of God. Do you know that the world insulted the body of Christ in Antioch and called them little Christ? It's the truth. And today we take it like it's a badge that we should wear. And you've heard me say it. I don't want you guys to call me a Christian. And I won't call myself a Christian. I'm a servant of the Most High God. His name happens to be Jesus the Christ. Not Jesus Christ. Christ is his title. I am his representative. I live his kingdom. I make it a reality. You guys have been to my house, and some of the common comments I hear, man, this is so much peace here. Don't you want that in your house? Get to know Jesus. Get to allow him to tell you. Get him to tell you, oh, this isn't satisfactory anymore. I need you to clean this mess up. This is no longer satisfactory. You need to obey your parents. This is no longer satisfactory. Why aren't you doing what my servant has told you to do? The kingdom is more than theory. The kingdom is more than just hearing preaching. The kingdom is our reality. And it needs to be released. Mark 1:15, last scripture. Time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message. Believe it. Time's up. We've been running around doing our own thing for too long. What God is about to do with us is not unprecedented. He's doing it with His church who wants to be obedient to Him. He said, go and make disciples. We're going to go and we're going to make disciples. And it's going to be real easy. We have it in front of us. Love God, love people, love life. We're going to demonstrate how much we love God by coming here on Sunday and just worship Him and sacrificially giving to His cause. Two, love people. We're going to love people. Not because we do cutesy things and stuff, but we're going to love people because we have a mandate from heaven to make them disciples. And three, we're going to love life. We're going to find out what our gifts and talents are, and we're going to use it, or them, in such a way that life happens. We can't make life happen. That's religion. But we can live our lives in such a way that our gifts and talents can be utilized by God to build up His body, to serve one another. That's what it means to be a Karoo. Are you ready for the challenge? This is yes. Because there's no no's in the kingdom. Please stand. Please stand. Nick, you okay? Okay. Father, I've given your word. As you have sent me, I am commissioning them to be sent forth. All the lies of the enemy, we cut down right now. We stop their words before they even enter into our ears, so they cannot penetrate our helmet of salvation. Father, show them that they are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. That there's nothing stopping them from accomplishing the purposes that you have given to us in these last days. Help us, God. We need you to lead us. We need you to encourage us. We need you more than ever. We are desperate for you because we want to be called faithful servants and be found faithful when you do come in doing our work. God, continue to bless your people. Give them the understanding that you have purposed them for a job. They're not to do my job. They're not to look at me to be like me. I want them to be like you. I want them to release your power into the land. I want them to call things that are not as though they were. That they would begin to prophesy. That they would begin to encourage one another. That they would build each other up. So that when we go out, we do the same thing we're doing here. God, cause today to be filled with your power, that even today as we're speaking, they go home, they would have opportunity to practice what it means to be a Karu, to be your Karu. I ask that you bless their comings and goings, Lord God. I ask that you bless their families. I ask that they have ears to hear the truth of Jesus Christ and what it really means to preach the gospel. I thank you for them. I ask that you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.